another episode. What's it this time? If you have doubts, toss them, cause this one will be awesome. The Curtis and Daniel Show.
It's the Curtis and Daniel Christmas Special. I'm your announcer, Toppy Smelly. And this is episode number one.
Well, ho, ho, hello. I worked on that intro for all of like 5 seconds.
Good job. Sounds like it.
How are you, Curtis?
I'm good. How are you, Daniel?
I'm doing excellent. You know, thank you so much for giving up time in your busy holiday schedule to show up here on the super awesome Curtis and Daniel Mega Show Spectacular Christmas Christmas Special, parentheses, Electric Boogaloo in 3D.
That's a mouthful.
Yes. Well, we have to always include the parentheses after is for Taylor the Latte Boy, who likes to have titles in parenthesized, I think.
Yes, he does. He is one to do that.
You can take them to the dry cleaners. Kind of like having something Martinized, you can have it parenthesized. Anyway, you know what? We are live on Pride48.com on Christmas Eve, no less. And we are here with the greatest group of folks ever in the history of the universe assembled in our chat room. Curtis, who is here with us this evening in the chat room?
Well, we have at the top of the list Brad Ma, who is Brad, and he's listening from another room in the house.
He's Brad Ma.
That's what we call him on Game Night Guys, you know, that other podcast that
I've never heard of this show.
I know. You should listen sometime. We mention you a lot. We have Gary KY, which I think is Gary in Kentucky and not
it could
the
be. Or it could
lubricant.
Be, yeah, it could be a lubricant salesman. We don't know.
Could be. Jada Tristan. We have Kathy Bacon Crema and Christmas Carrie. And Mags.
Yes.
And we have a Mib, who I'm not sure who that is.
Yeah, but it could be anyone.
It could be anyone. And we also have the person you just heard at the top of the show, Toppy Smelly.
Yes, our announcer, Toppy Smelly. Great. That's excellent. So if you know what, Mags in the chat room there, you know, I read something that Mags posted today, and I wanted to know your opinion on this. I don't know if you know this or not. I am soon to be a single girl again. So I'm, you know, been looking at apartments, and I'm going to have my own apartment and, you know, moving on. And so I'm sitting there going like, you know, oh, all the things I get to do now, like I can come home and take a nap and not get shit, right? I can just come home and take a nap and then get up and stay up until 3 o'clock and then go back to sleep. So Mags posted this thing on Facebook today about how they used to sleep back in the olden days, like back in Big Fatty and Toppy Smelly's time, that they used to actually sleep twice, that they had a first sleep and a second sleep. In fact, even the poem, The Canterbury Tales, is that a poem or is that a book? Anyway, The Canterbury Tales actually does make reference to something that happened after first sleep, which I guess it was quite common for there to be two sleeps. And I'm like, I'm really digging this idea. I'm totally down with this idea because I figure if I go to work at 7, I can leave at 3:30. I could be home by 4. I take my first sleep for like 3.5 hours, right? So I get up at 7:30, right? So like from 4 to 7:30, I sleep. I get up at 7:30. I hang out, you know, I do stuff until about 3 a.m. And then I take my second sleep, right, until 7 a.m.
Yeah.
There you go. I think I'm excited to try this.
That sounds kind of amazing to me, actually. I would love to try that sometime.
I know. See? And I'm going to be a second sleep pioneer. We should do a podcast about that.
The second sleep pioneers?
Yeah, you know, we should do a podcast about second sleeping. And
I'll just add it to the list.
Add it to the list of the show, yeah. For those of you who may not know, by the way, a special thanks to DI Plus for allowing us to take over their time period this evening here on DI Plus Plus. On Christmas Eve is what I meant to say. I don't know why it came out as DI Plus Plus. I can't talk.
I don't know either.
You know what it is I think we're so heavily scripted that I don't have this written down, and so, yeah, I've already blown it. I'm going off the rails. So DI Plus, normally in this time slot, we are, of course, doing it. For those of you who may not know us, for those of you DI Plusers out there who may not know who the Curtis and Daniel, super awesome Curtis and Daniel Mega Show Spectacular is, we're a very popular award-winning podcast heard in multiple dimensions and multiple parallel universes across the time and space. And... yeah, we did a lovely live show in Vegas. I think it was some of you might have been the first time you've heard of us, which is weird. The sheer number of accolades that we've received, the number of awards that we've received. Look, behind me here, this shelf back behind me, just filled with awards won.
How does that shelf support such weight
it is a heft
from those awards?
It is made with a space-age polymer, sir. And that is a space-age polymer holds them up. It has the strength, the tensile strength of steel.
Is it molybdenum? Did you get that at IKEA?
Molybdenum?
Does IKEA sell molybdenum? Yeah.
It's just some pine and some oak and some Norsemen, I think.
It's just wood. Okay,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
It's just wood. And okay. Yeah. Anyway, so are you having a great Christmas time? Oh, wait, first of all, do you celebrate Christmas? Because it is also the seventh night of Hanukkah. So if you do not celebrate Christmas, perhaps you're celebrating Hanukkah this evening.
No, I do celebrate Christmas. And tonight was actually my last night of work before the holiday. I get Christmas Eve and Christmas Day off as a paid holiday where I work. So
wow. I don't. Yeah. I actually have to work tomorrow. So I have to work on Christmas Eve.
I'm sorry.
I get Christmas Day off. And then I will be working the day after Christmas. So I just get the one day. Yeah.
Yeah. I will too.
But next week I'll be taking off all week because Big Fatty's coming into town. So I'm going to take off all week to hang out with him.
I'll be taking off Monday and Tuesday. Brad and I are headed for Albuquerque for the new year.
Oh, so you're going to be going to Albuquerque for how long?
We will be there until, I believe, New Year's Day on the 1st.
I hear a cat.
Oh, there's George. Yeah, that's my cat, George. He's bored, I guess.
I can tell. He's bored, much like the chat room. Well, it sounds like you're going to have a great a little holiday season. You know what? I find something about this season. I don't know if it's just the way things are happening in my life right now, or just the year or whatever. It's just I'm not really in that spirit this year.
No.
And I was trying to put my finger on exactly what it was. I think a lot of it has to do with World of Warcraft, because I'm a big World of Warcraft player. And we just had a new, we can hear you typing. I just had a new, there was a new expansion just type softer. It's fine. Go ahead.
God, I was typing fairly softly. Yeah, sorry. I was interacting with the chat room.
Over there. You made me very, so I play World of Warcraft. And
yes.
This new expansion that just dropped, I don't know if you know this or not, there's a new expansion that just dropped in World of Warcraft called Warlords of Draenor or Draenor. I've heard it both ways. But there's no Christmas decorations this year. Where I'm at right now.
No.
Like if I went back to the original Azeroth, there are Christmas decorations up. But it's just that in the new expansion, I don't have an occasion to go back to that world, back to the earlier levels of the game where I would see the Christmas. So I think that kind of hit me yesterday. I was like going like, oh, you know what? There aren't. Why aren't there Christmas decorations up in my garrison like there normally have been? And maybe that has a lot of something to do with it. This is going to sound really cheesy, but the very first time that I ever played World of Warcraft was immediately after like the beta, right after it went live, because World of Warcraft went live in like September or October of 1 year, and I started playing it in December of that year. And so after playing World of Warcraft for maybe a week or so, all of the Christmas decorations went up. It's not called Christmas, it's called Winter's Veil. But that was a lot of my initial playing of the game, and my earliest memories of the game are running through the snow and seeing the Christmas lights up and, seeing the decorations around the town and everything. So it's kind of in my memory there of like, World of Warcraft and Christmas just have this kind of weird,
correlation.
Yeah, world correlation. I've been playing World of Warcraft for 10 years, so it is definitely, something that's just kind of in my brain there. And for them not to be in the game this year is really, I think it's kind of throwing me off. The other thing that's throwing me off is normally by this time I've already gone into New York City to see the Christmas windows and to see the trees there. And because Fatty is coming next week, I'm waiting to go into New York City next week when he's here. So I haven't gone in to see the tree at Rockefeller Center or see the window, the store windows at Bergdorf's and stuff like that. So I'll be doing that next week.
It'll be after Christmas by the time that you get around to
it. But honestly, as an adult, does the day really mean much anymore? I mean, it's the season, right? I mean, it's like, I don't think there's anything special. That's actually a really good question. At what age do you think that the magical day of Christmas ended?
That's a good question. Did your parents do the Santa Claus thing with you?
We didn't. I'm sorry. I was drinking. We didn't. Well, we did and we didn't. I do have a memory 1 year of my brother getting a tape recorder, like a little portable cassette recorder. And I had gotten some musical instruments. So I had gotten, like a pair of castanets and like some wood blocks and some jingle bells and like a little tambourine and stuff like that. And Santa left us a recording on my brother's cassette deck using my instruments that I got. So it was so I do recall Santa leaving us a cassette, which of course was my dad doing it. But we didn't. Actually, no one ever dressed up. That was never part of our tradition of someone dressing up as Santa coming in. And you guys have that?
That only happened once as a kid. I remember
it. And we'll never talk about it again.
Right. He said he would hurt my family if, so. No, at the time, this was in the early 80s. I think I was 8 or 9. And I remember Santa Claus came to our Christmas party once at our house to deliver some presents. And I think I was old enough at that point to know who it really was. It was my my grandmother, her special friend at the time, because my grandfather was not around at that point. So,
her special friend.
Her special friend, yes. Yeah.
Nice.
Her boyfriend.
So even at a young age, you were using euphemisms.
Yes, euphemisms.
Euphemisms with the hills.
That's right. The hills are alive with the sound of euphemisms.
So at what age? Like, at what age do you think that Christmas just, like, and maybe not necessarily age, but, like, when do you, you know, when was it, if you can even pin it down? Because I can pretty much pin it down as to when it was that Christmas just ceased to be a special day.
I don't know. I still enjoy Christmas even today. I mean, it's definitely changed as far as, like, the dynamic with spending it with my family and opening presents and, you know, all that. We haven't done that in years.
Yeah.
But I remember, like, just a few years ago was the first year I wasn't home for Christmas. It was probably 6 or 7 years ago that we all weren't at the same place at the same time. But, I mean, even up to that point before that, it probably, I don't know. I can't really pin it to a certain age either.
But I think I was probably 19 or 20. I had moved out. I had my first apartment. That first, you know, year in my apartment was great because people brought presents. You know, my parents still sent presents and put them under the tree and stuff. So I still was able to wake up Christmas morning and have presents to open and then went over to my parents' house and whatnot. But I was the youngest of four. So people, you know, I was the last one to move out. And probably by the time I was 22, 23, all of my siblings, you know, started to have their own kids and their own families. Mm-hmm. And so mom and dad's house ceased to be a central place for Christmas to happen, right? They all kind of had their, like, much like George now is having Christmas back there behind you.
I don't think he knew Santa was fake. I think we just dropped a bombshell on him. So I'm sorry, George.
Right. So like 22 or 23, I think Christmas just ceased to be, it just became a day like any other. It was just kind of like, you know what? It doesn't really matter. If I go over to my parents the day after Christmas or the day before Christmas and we open presents together, that's just as good as, you know, so Christmas stopped being this one big, massive ooh-ah thing into just like a whole bunch of like mini ooh-ahs. You know what I'm saying? Like, kind of go and spend time with a lot of different places and kind of spread it around. Of course, now I'm just, you know, a humorless hermit that doesn't spend time with anyone. And I sit here and, you know, I light my menorah. I light my menorah. I rub my Kwanzaa belly or whatever the thing is for Kwanzaa.
And, you rub your Kwanzaa belly.
I'm pretty sure that's what you rub the magical belly of Kwanzaa and then it bestows gifts upon you. I'm pretty sure.
I think you're thinking of Buddha and or a genie. I'm not sure you have isn't mythologies. No, I don't think so.
Isn't Kwanzaa the day that Buddha comes down the chimney and, like, you know, belly first and
I don't know. I hope no one that's listening celebrates Kwanzaa. If so, you can address your concerns and opinions to Daniel Brewer.
No, please. All complaints should go in writing to P.O. Box 561 Woodland Hills, California, 912.
That's correct.
Here's the thing, though. I find it fascinating that you actually had someone dress up. Now, do you know who it was that dressed up as Santa? Who was it?
Well, it was just the 1 year. Like I said, it was 1 year that Santa came to the party and delivered gifts.
And who was it?
My grandmother's special friend.
Oh, I see. I missed that part because I was reading the chat room. All right. So that's where the special friend came from. So he was the one.
Yes. Yes.
And what were restraining orders filed or something? Why did he only do it the one time?
I don't know. I really don't know. It was a one-off kind of like
Bob. Bob enjoyed those children sitting on his lap a little too much last year. I think we should probably not have him do it next year. I think that was the conversation that might have taken place.
So yeah.
Back there. Yeah. So, let's see, any special Christmas traditions that you have or?
Not really that I can think of. I mean, I like to have the day off on Christmas. I know it just seems like anymore that there's all this push and like want people to work on holidays, like with Black Friday, it starts on Thanksgiving night now.
Yeah.
I think it's nice to have that one day off per year. And I think that it's great for the businesses that are closed on Christmas that they allow their employees to spend that time with their family. But no, I just, I like to just kind of hang out and do my thing. If I'm invited to a friend's house, I might do that, or if have people over, something like that. But
now I'm being told by a little bird that you are quite the Christmas movie aficionado. So how many Christmas movies have you watched so far this year?
Only actually a couple.
I have an all-time favorite Christmas movie, which I'm not going to tell you right now because I want to know what yours is. What is your all-time favorite Christmas movie?
Probably Die Hard.
Die Hard is your all-time favorite Christmas movie? No, that's acceptable. It takes place at Christmas time. That is acceptable. I would have also accepted Gremlins. Gremlins took place at Christmas.
Yes, I do enjoy Gremlins quite a bit, actually.
Now, in the chat room, someone is saying that you have watched hundreds of Christmas movies so far this year.
Oh, no. That Bradma is confused. I've only watched a couple so far.
Also, Toppy Smelly is saying that his grandma had a special friend, too. Now, the question is, did our announcer Toppy Smelly's grandma's special friend dress up as Santa, and were they the same special friend?
I don't know.
That would be quite a coincidence. You know, the world, you know, is a very small place.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think it was the same special friend.
Could have been. Yeah, I'm not saying the same year, but I mean, it could have been.
It could have been. But no, actually, I use the term special friend because I heard Toppy on another podcast talking about how his grandmother had a special friend.
Oh, so you're basically ripped off our announcer, Toppy Smelly. Our announcer, Toppy Smelly, has his own show?
No, he was a guest. Well, I think he does, but he was a guest on another podcast, another show.
I was going to say, I mean, that is how award-winning we are, that our announcer has now gone on to have his own show. Mm-hmm. We are. We're like the Howard Stern of podcasting. We just like, even our interns like spawn off to do their own things.
Yes, someone will be the mod of podcasts in the Jeffersons and all those other shows.
So are you going to go with Die Hard, or do you actually have a favorite Christmas movie?
Actually, that's one of my favorites. It's not really a Christmas movie. It just takes place at Christmas time. But for that whole like holiday feeling, I really enjoy Christmas Vacation. That is one of my favorite.
Oh, so there's Chevy Chase, the National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Mm-hmm. Mine is I don't know what it was before this movie came out, because it's a relatively recent movie, as in within the last 10, 15 years. Mm-hmm. But The Santa Claus is my favorite Christmas movie. I love that movie with Tim Allen. I love that movie. I cry at that movie. I get all excited and happy when I see that movie. That is my absolute favorite Christmas movie of all time, is The Santa Claus.
I think I've seen that probably close to the time it was first released. I don't think I've seen it since then. But
it's weird. It's weird because I don't necessarily like Tim Allen, but yet mm-hmm. I like a lot of the movies he's in. Like Galaxy Quest is one of my all-time favorite movies.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not that I'm a huge Tim Allen fan, but I do tend to just suddenly, you know, for whatever reason, I like the movies that he's in. I mean, The Santa Claus, mm-hmm. I thought, was a great concept, right? That a nice little play on words there, that is a clause as well as, you know, the person. But yeah, I love The Santa Claus. I love The Santa Claus 2. I think The Santa Claus 3 started to jump the shark a little bit, but I still like it, so.
There's a movie that came out just a few years ago, like 3 years ago, called Arthur Christmas, that's quickly becoming one of my favorite movies.
I watched that. Actually, the first or second Christmas, must have been the second Christmas that I was here in Connecticut. Mm-hmm. We had Thanksgiving dinner at my apartment. So it was myself and Robert and Stephen from Wisconsin and Lurie Dean. And mm-hmm. we had Thanksgiving dinner, and then we watched Arthur Christmas, which was on pay-per-view at the time. So that would have been like the first year it was out. Yeah, I love that. That was a great one, too. I do like that one. And I want to say Tim Allen is in that, but it may not be Tim Allen.
No, I don't think he is. No.
I'm trying to, who plays the older brother in that? Who does the voice of the older brother in that? It's not Vera Charles, right? It's not international voice actor Vera Charles.
No, it's Hugh Laurie.
Hugh Laurie plays the older brother? Yeah. The one that ran, not Arthur, but his older brother is Hugh.
No,
Laurie?
Arthur is James McAvoy.
Let's see.
Who played young Professor Xavier in the X-Men movies.
Very, very. Yeah, you're right. It is. It's Hugh Laurie.
You sound surprised that I'm right.
I'm not surprised that you're right. I'm just surprised that it's Hugh Laurie.
Yeah.
It's House MD that plays.
It's House MD.
That plays his older brother. Yeah, but I do like Arthur Christmas. Still, though, Santa Claus, I'm going to give it to the Santa Claus. All right. I think we've killed this topic.
I think we have.
As we just rip through these things.
All the topics we have prepared.
We've prepared nothing. We've absolutely prepared nothing. Nope. It was so weird because in Vegas, when we did the live show, the super awesome Curtis and Daniel Mega Show Spectacular, the live show, we scripted everything for that. We actually wrote all of those skits and, you know, mm-hmm. had other people do the parts, and we had to write those things. We didn't rehearse them at all,
no,
which is probably our downfall.
Yeah, we were still kind of writing stuff up to the beginning of the show. I mean, we were still coming up with concepts.
Pretty sure Brad Ma in the chat room was quite angry with us because we kept pulling you away from your hosting duties. So like, no, I need you to write this now. But thank God you're a fast typer, because we would just blurt things mm-hmm. out and you would write them in there. But it's just kind of... it was a fun concept, and I know that we had toyed around with actually doing the Curtis and Daniel show for reals, like as mm-hmm. as a scripted podcast, and then life happened.
Life did happen in a big way.
Yeah. And then that never happened. And I think my big concern, I think, with that is you just have the most, like, I'm only half kidding about doing the two sleep thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I probably will try it for a while. But you have the most bizarre schedule of any human being that I've ever, and I keep in mind, I played World of Warcraft for 10 years. I've been raiding in World of Warcraft. So I've been raiding with, even back in the old days where I had to be in 40 person raids, where you had to herd 39 other cats to show up at a specific place and time. You, sir, have the most complicated schedule in the universe. I have no idea how you and Brian ever record an episode of Game Night Guys, because you're just constantly doing something all the time.
Well, that's why we don't do it weekly, as you were giving me grief about before, because of my work schedule. It's not that bizarre. I work 2 to 10 PM Monday through Friday.
But that is a weird shift.
It's second shift. There is a third shift, which thank God I don't work that. It's 10 PM to 6 AM, but I don't work that shift.
It's just weird because 2 to 10 PM is actually East Coast time is 5 to 2 AM, right? So 10, 11,
depending
12,
on the
no,
time of year,
5 to 1 AM.
Well, yeah, depending, 6 months out of the year, we're 3 hours behind.
That's
because Arizona
is, yeah.
doesn't observe daylight savings time. So.
And what the fuck is that all about? Also, what is it you people in Arizona have? Why? What is it that you're like, oh, no, we're not going to do that? It's like that thing. It's like that thing where, you know what, you're like at a restaurant and you're going, you know what? We all had close to the same thing here. It was all pretty, let's not make the waiter go through the thing. There's 13 of us here at the table. Let's all just kind of agree to pay a 13th of the bill. Because we're all pretty close, within a couple of bucks of each other. Let's just pay the 13th of the bill. And there's always one person. There's always one fucking person. And I guarantee you, they're probably from Arizona. There's always one person that was just like, oh no, I did not get a beverage. I had a glass of water and mine is cheaper and I want it separated. That is how I feel about Arizona. It's as if all 50 states got together and were having a dinner. All 50 states were having a dinner, and it came time to split the daylight hours up. And Arizona was the one who was like, I had the tabbouleh and nothing else, and I will not pay for another goddamn hour of sunlight. I'm holding on to it.
I don't see Arizona eating a lot of tabbouleh. I do want to mention, though, parts of Indiana also do not observe daylight saving time. Parts of Indiana. We're getting together as a whole state and saying, we're not going to do this.
you're joined together in solidarity.
That's right.
Arizona.
In Indiana, it's like one guy, I don't want to do it.
that's your invitation of the one guy from Indiana.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, because it's certain parts, you hear it from another part, like, yeah, that's stupid. I don't
want to do either. It's just, I just find that weird. Like, if a state was going to come together and unify over some issue, why? Why daylight saving? Why is this, like, the hot button topic? It's like, you would think that they would come together and unify over something, you know, grandiose or something that, inspiring to the rest of the country. You're like, we're going to set here, ladies and gentlemen, I, as a politician of the great state of Arizona, would now like to lay forth this claim that we Arizonians shall stand together as a beacon of hope for the rest of the country and stand up for blank. And somehow blank became not following daylight savings time.
I don't know the history of why Arizona doesn't choose to observe it. I'm glad they don't, though, because it's just a big hassle. It's set all those devices and clocks. I mean, all the electronics manufacturers have bent to our will. Like, okay, well, we'll add a special time zone for Arizona when you're setting up your new device. It won't ever change the time.
And it's not a hassle because almost everything I own automatically does it for me. The only mm-hmm. thing in my house that doesn't automatically do it is like the microwave, which I never pay attention to the time on the microwave anyway. It's like everything else, like the cable box, the my phones, the computers, like all of those things, even my alarm clock, they all automatically change the time. So
bully for you. I don't know what to say to that.
I'm just saying. I just find it really weird that Arizona would like would rally around this issue. Like, what pissed off some Arizonans so badly about daylight saving time that they like they hung their hat on this?
I don't know. I just like to not to veer too far off our quote unquote topic.
Toppy
is saying that Toppy is saying that he is up way after his bedtime right now. So I want to say thank you for hanging out with us tonight, Toppy. Aww.
We appreciate it. Our announcer Toppy Smelly, who we're keeping awake right now. Clearly, if he was in Arizona, he would have an extra hour.
He would have an extra hour.
although now I believe we're all on standard time. So now this is the time of year of peace and harmony where we can all agree on the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're in, Arizona's in the mountain time zone currently, but, you know, come whatever month that is that the clocks change, is it March?
March, yes, it does.
Yeah, then we're going to go, no, we're not going to change our time.
And this is a thing, Congress actually loved daylight savings time so much that they, like, expanded it to make it even, like, more of the year. So it's like Arizona must, mm-hmm. like, you know, really, like, that must have just, like, cemented you guys into this, you know, this craziness.
Oh, yeah. Who has time to change clocks?
November to March. Fuck you.
Exactly.
That's my imitation of the November. Have you ever watched The Sopranos?
I have not.
No. I haven't either, but I, as an Amazon Prime subscriber, all the back catalog of HBO shows are now available on Amazon Prime. And I eat my mm-hmm. lunch usually at my desk, and so I watch something on, you know, Amazon Prime or Netflix. I just kind of, you know, so I rewatched all of Stargate, the 10 seasons of Stargate. I rewatched all of that. Oh. Well, I mean, I've worked at the same place for several years, but so I've rewatched all of Stargate. I watched all of Stargate Atlantis. I'm like, caught up on all of that. And so just recently I've switched to watching The Sopranos. So I've been watching The Sopranos at lunch. And maybe I'm not going to admit yes or no that I might watch more than one episode because I am eating at my desk and it's just kind of like, oh, I'll just tell them I went to lunch an hour later and I'll just watch another episode. Right, so I might occasionally watch more than one episode at my desk. But I'm currently on season 4 of The Sopranos. I just feel like maybe Arizona is like Tony Soprano. What? You don't think I should get something from the time change? You don't think that I should somehow benefit from the time change?
You know, Brad just plowed through the entire series of The Sopranos, and he's offering to tell you how it ends, if you're curious.
I know how it is. See, that's the weird thing. Are you a big spoiler? Like, are you one of those people, like, it's all about me that just, like, freaks the fuck out about spoilers?
I don't. If it's a show that I know is going to get spoiled, I'll watch it as soon as I can. But there's really no statute of limitations as far as, you know, when after a show airs, I think it's fair game for anyone.
To me, it's one of those, I watch shows because I enjoy the journey. So it's like telling mm-hmm. me how it ends, it doesn't necessarily ruin anything for me because that doesn't really tell me anything. It's like, okay, great. So Lost, they ended up in a construct. Lost ended up in a construct that they all like decided as living beings that they would like make this construct in the afterlife for them to all to meet together before they went on to the next time. So a place, a special little place that was outside of time and space that they constructed so that they could all once again be together to make the journey to the next place. So that would not be a spoiler for me because to me it's like the entire 6 seasons of Lost was the journey to get there. So that doesn't spoil mm-hmm. anything for me. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And in fact,
yeah, I know what you're saying.
I think even Netflix did a site on their own where they gave like 30-second spoilers of movies. Like, and if you didn't watch the movie, if you didn't know the story of the movie, they really weren't spoilers because it was like, I don't know who that guy is and I don't know what he just said. But if you knew the story, that would be a huge spoiler, right? But I don't know the story, and so I don't. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that spoilers are contextual. If you don't know the context of the spoilers, then they're not spoilers, right? They're meaningless.
I do have a complaint about Netflix, and that is if I'm watching a series and I've never seen it and I don't want it to be spoiled, you know, for some whatever reason I've not heard the outcome of the show, their synopsis for every episode basically is a spoiler before you even get a chance to watch it.
It's true.
Like, this is what happens in the next episode, or they show an image or a visual from the next episode that spoils something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really?
But I guess that's just kind of, you know, it to me, I don't care about spoilers. I do not. It doesn't take anything away from me. You know, I still enjoy watching it. Even if I knew that the Reverse Flash was going to be in that last episode, I still enjoyed watching the episode. Like, I figured out that, you know, well, not figured out, but I was pretty sure that he was a Reverse Flash the entire time, like from episode number one.
The Reverse Flash.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, no, I mean, Reverse Flash is an actual character in DC Comics. So, I mean, I was pretty sure that Tom Welling, Tom Cavanaugh. I'm pretty sure that he was Reverse Flash. Like, from the first episode, I was pretty sure that he was Reverse Flash. And so, to me, it was just kind of like, that wasn't really that big of a spoiler.
Okay, I've never heard of Reverse Flash, so.
You've never heard?
Comics.
You know, all right, so Toppy Smelly is our comic guru out there. Our announcer, yeah. Toppy Smelly, but I don't think his microphone is on right now. But our comic book guru, Toppy Smelly, could tell you that Reverse Flash is Professor Zoom in DC lore. Professor Zoom, who had all of the same abilities as the Flash, but he used them for evil, not for good. He was the Reverse Flash. He was Flash's greatest nemesis.
He was like Bizarro Flash.
Yeah, close to it, but he was the Reverse Flash.
Okay, that's that. I've never heard of that.
All right, now keep in mind, we aren't talking about DC Comics, which is the lamest of the comics, right? So it's like, you know, Marvel, of course, the greatest of the comics, DC, the lamest, as they were. Oh, wait. You disagree with me?
No, I know nothing about comics. You're not going to get any mileage out of this topic with me.
In all caps, we are getting this from the control room here. Toppy Smelly says, Reverse Flash is like Bizarro Superman, sort of. God damn it, Curtis got that out before I could type out all of these words.
Oh, I'm sorry, Toppy, to be a buzzkill. Steal your thunder.
Right. Toppy, if you're on Google Plus, we can bring you in and you can explain to Curtis exactly who the Reverse Flash is. I'm issuing out an invite to Toppy Smelly right at this moment. Turning on. So if the control room can hear me, if they want to turn on the microphone in there for Toppy Smelly, that would be great. Until he gets here, however.
Yes.
You know what? If Toppy's here, that'd be great because I had a game plan that we could play.
Okay.
To kind of close out the show. And I think Toppy would also be a good player of this game. We could all play this game together. So it'd be fun. The one thing that you and I do have in common, however, because clearly we don't have our love of comic books, but what we do have is a love of video games. I know that you recently did a 24-hour gaming marathon fundraiser for the Children's Miracle Network. Mm-hmm. How did that go? It was on a weekend that, quite honestly, I'm going to probably speak out of school here. It was the weekend that my marriage was literally dissolving, so I could not spend time watching you do it. And so it was very, hit or miss there. But I did check in on you a couple of times. And one time I was trying to talk to you, but we couldn't talk because you were just like, no, I'm playing the game and I will not talk to you.
No, I was actually, when I was streaming on Twitch, I did see you in the chat room and I was responding verbally. I couldn't respond by typing.
Yes.
So
yes.
Typing with an Xbox controller is very cumbersome if you've never done it.
I've never done it, but I was just saying that, I was just like, if you had had some kind of, Google Plus or Skype, because that was kind of like when you said you were going to do this thing, I offered to help you set that up so that you can have other Pride 48ers actually come and talk to you while you were playing.
Mm-hmm.
And then that would be what was being streamed out on Twitch. You would hear them, you wouldn't necessarily see them, but you would hear them. You'd still see your game, but you would be able to hear them and stuff. But I've since learned that your entire household is powered off of like an Atari 8-bit computer.
I don't know who this little bird is feeding you information. I have a good idea who it is.
I'm pretty sure that George meowing in the background there was just him complaining about having to run on that treadmill to keep it running.
George is an asshole.
It's just, you don't have the multi-channel mixer where you could just like, just patch the sound in through there and then leave the video going out. Yeah, so that was kind of,
No, it's an Xbox One, actually. Everything is run off the Xbox One.
Which is horrible because I have the Xbox 360, which you and I played. So do we want to tell this story?
Oh, we might as well. Let's air this laundry.
I got... While we wait for Toppy Smelly, I don't know if Toppy Smelly is. He might be off looking for a microphone right now. But I got Grand Theft Auto 5, which is my favorite series of games, is Grand Theft Auto. And I've played all of them since 3.
So you played 3 of them.
But that's the best ones. So Vice City, maybe I've played more than 3. So Vice City was GTA 3, right? GTA 3, Vice City.
I believe so.
4 was San Andreas.
Mm-hmm.
And 5 was... whatever the fuck 5 is.
5. Five Was Five. That was the name of it.
Yeah. So and I've and it's so anyway, Los Santos. There was like a Los Santos subtitle somewhere that maybe I'm missing.
Los Santos is the city that they live in, right? I mean, that's just. Oh, but you're right. That was like a subtitle for one of the games. I don't remember. I think four was Los Santos. Whatever. Anyway.
No, four was San Andreas. So here's the thing. So I love this game. And you, of course, have had an Xbox 360, and you also had Vice City. And I think it was the first year at Pride 48 that we had met, and we had talked about, GTA is coming out. And you play that? So when it came out, you and I played multiplayer GTA 5. Now, you, kind, unassuming Curtis Hill that everyone knows and loves, is a rat bastard when you play these. You pushed me off a bridge, literally just pushed me off a bridge to my death and laughed about it as I, much like that right there. You just pushed me off a bridge. I was just like, yeah, well, maybe we should go over there and do this. Bye. You just pushed me off a bridge to my death and found it hilarious.
I thought it would be fun just to mess with you and shove you off a bridge. But what you're not saying is that I too fell off the bridge in the process. We both went over the side of the bridge in the game.
Yes, but you went out of bridge out of clumsiness. I was sent over from malice, which is much worse. Yeah. Probably an argument in-game argument over like time zones or something.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I did get the Xbox One version of GTA 5.
And
so I've been playing it again. It's a very pretty game. It looks really nice.
Other than them upgrading the graphics to it, they didn't really change anything though, right? I mean, it's still the same storyline. It's still the same.
Yeah, I didn't finish the first one though. I didn't make it very far. So I have that advantage that I can go finish it now if I want to. But there's multiplayer on there still. And heists are coming in early next year and a different gameplay mode.
Now, I know that GTA 5 multiplayer, we could play against people on PlayStation and Xbox, and like we could because you were going through the Rockstar servers there. So in other words, you did your friends list via the Rockstar North website, so it was cross-platform. I don't know. I mean, can you play against people on Xbox One?
I didn't think it was cross-platform for the last generation of consoles. I don't think it is.
Yeah, no, I played multiplayer against people on PS3.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, I never did. I don't think so. I honestly have no idea.
If you think about it from a technical standpoint, it's just like syncing up the same in-game coordinates to each other, right? And then there's a scorekeeping thing, which is handled by their computers, not by either platform. So it's very easy to do a cross-platform because it's just both of them are sending their data to a third-party server, which is sending back the stuff right there. All right, you know what? Fine, whatever. I'm boring the chat room. Okay, fine. I'm a geek, and these are things that I like.
This is the Curtis and Daniel show, not the chat room show, so we can talk about whatever the hell we want to talk about.
What happened? Did Tompy Smelly fall asleep? Is that what happened?
We kept him up too late, probably.
He fell asleep. He was going to come on and talk to us about comic books, and now he's completely disappeared.
He's still bitter that we didn't mention him all those times he announced our shows in Vegas. You know, we just kind of threw him under the bus too.
Now, let's talk about Vegas for a second.
Okay.
Wait, what does that mean?
I have a little trepidation, but go ahead.
So, kudos to you, by the way. Kudos to you. The theme song, which you heard at the beginning of the show, the theme song was unwritten until the third day of being in Vegas.
Something like the day before, you were like, I need lyrics. I need lyrics.
we had the music, right, which was done by my friend Bill here in Connecticut. He like did the music, which is a mashup between DuckTales and the Itchy and Scratchy Show. So we had the music. We knew it was going to end with the Curtis and Daniel Show, and we knew Toppy Smelly's piece after that. But we didn't have that piece of lyrics, and I kept going, I need something that rhymes with awesome. And it's awesome is such a hard word to rhyme. And so I give you full credit for coming up with the tossum. So if you have doubts, tossum.
I didn't think many people would get the reference to the 90s sitcom Blossom, so I didn't go with that. I thought I should make it more approachable by every
This
person.
Isn't Blossom, so it's going to be awesome.
There you go. Whoa.
Oh, that would have been great. You could have done that live every time. Whoa.
Yeah, every time. Yeah, whoa.
Could have done the little Joey whoa. That would have been great.
See, like George is just
George is doing the Joey Woe. That's amazing. I feel like did we lose Toppy Smelly? He just disappeared. I feel like I don't want
to. Maybe he went to bed.
Okay, fine. Yeah, he's not in the chat room anymore.
No, he left. Maybe he lost his internet. Maybe the chicken coop cut him off.
Oh, you know what? Probably he probably had to reboot, to like put in his microphone and then had to reboot or something. I don't know. Who knows? Oh. We'll just assume that Toppy Smelly is still alive and that something didn't happen horrible, tragically, that caused him to die.
Do you always assume the worst when someone disappears like that?
I do, because that way I'm delighted more often than disappointed, because more often than not, something horrible didn't happen. And so then I go, oh, thank goodness you didn't see. And then I'm happy because they didn't die a horrible death. And if they did, I'm kind of prepared for it.
Wow. That's that's a lot of information to learn about.
That's part of my Boy Scout training. I was a Boy Scout. So that is part of the Lord Baden-Powell's rules written down in the annals of the Boy Scout handbook.
What was the Boy Scout motto?
The Boy Scout motto is a scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent.
Okay, I got most of that.
Not to be confused with the Boy Scout oath, which is on my honor, I'll do my duty to do my best to God and country, to old people, and slap people with fish.
I was a Boy Scout. That's not the Boy Scout oath. You're being offensive now to old people.
No, that is. Isn't that like, that's mainly what scouting is basically to help old people across the street. That's like the classic example that they give. It's like Boy Scouts exist to help old ladies across the street. As if old ladies were somehow just suddenly, you know, it's like cats and trees with firemen. It's like, it's not like there's this epidemic of cats and trees that firemen have to go and rescue. It's just a cliche, right? It's not like there's old ladies lined up on the street corners across America just waiting to be ushered across the street. It's just a cliche.
So you're saying Boy Scouts are the human equivalent of a crosswalk?
I'm saying that Boy Scouts are to cats as no Boy Scouts are to old lady as firemen are to cats.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And Brad does a podcast called Cats and Trees with Firemen.
Well, that's news to me. We're gonna have to talk about that.
What is going on in the chat room? That seems like we've killed them all.
Well, you know, it's kind of late. The holidays are here. It's everyone's busy with their family.
It's actually not that late, really. It isn't. It's quite early. And
well,
I know a lot of people are traveling because holidays. Even Adam from the Doobies and Tent podcast is traveling. Couldn't be bothered to do a show tonight. Had to.
Oh, and subscribe from that podcast. I don't like it
because they've stolen your line or your kick.
No, I'm just kidding. I've been listening.
I wanted to ask Toppy about the sleep thing too, because he said, don't you change your sleep thing, 'cause it'll fuck you up.
Yeah. Probably he's onto something. I would say it would take a while to get into that routine. And if you decide it's not for you, it will probably take a while to go out of it too.
I don't feel like I have a set sleep time anyway. Does that make any sense?
No. I mean, yeah, it does.
On the weekends, I often stay up until 4, you know, 3 or 4 a.m. and then sleep until 11 or noon. But then during the week, I sleep, you know, I get up every morning at 8:45, right? So it's like I go to bed at around 1 a.m. and I get out at 8:45. So that's my normal routine. But on the weekends, I do something crazier and different. And that doesn't really fuck me. It doesn't take me that long. Like when I travel to the West Coast or whatever, it doesn't take me that long to readjust back to where I was. So I don't think... You know, like today I came home and took a nap and, you know, so I'd be bright and fresh for this train wreck and whatever. I can't believe this. We have the Ghost of Christmas Future has entered the chat room. I don't know if you see that or not. Arthur Amarins has entered the chat room.
Yeah. We were last on the, was it Faded Folks and Curtis?
That we were together? On the Faded Folks and Curtis with Arthur, the Amarins. Well, Toppy Smelly has returned to us in the chat room.
There he is. Oh, he had updates, he says.
Yeah, but Toppy, there's an invitation to you on the Google Plus there if you go and find it. We're eagerly waiting for you to tell us about the difference between Marvel and DC Comics.
On the Google Plus, you sound like one of my grandparents now. I mean, we're going to go to the Walmart and we're going to go to the Denny's. Put the in front of everything.
So Nico says that the articles discussing the idea imply that both sleeps happen at night, not afternoon and then night. And I realize that. I do. However, if I get home at 4 o'clock, then why couldn't I do the first 3 hours from like 4 to 7, like 3.5. So like 4 to 7:30, and then stay up until 2 or 3 AM and then finish the 4 hours.
So is he saying it should be dark outside when you're sleeping?
I don't know. Because, you know, I feel like in modern times, in 2014, we have blackout drapes. We have technologies that will make it darker or lighter inside a house, depending.
Sleep masks.
Yeah, exactly. We have the technology to do this. I have to repost the
invite.
The invite there to our announcer, Toppy Smelly.
There it is.
I just love that sound. Dink.
Dink.
Just sounds very, very thing. So Arthur is from the future. I don't know if you know this. So it is not only, it's no longer Christmas Eve Eve where Arthur is. It is already Christmas Eve.
Wow. I thought maybe it was like Valentine's Day. He was that far in the future.
I don't know how
that works. Yeah.
It's not. Oh, you know what? Speaking of the near future, you're going to love this segue. Speaking of the near future, I sent you a long time ago a link to one of my favorite chiptunes band called I Fight Dragons.
Yes, you did.
And I Fight Dragons just released their new album in December, and it is called The Near Future. It is so horrible.
Is it?
It is the... Oh, I'm so... I was so psyched for this new album because I love the band, but their chiptune guy left the band. Mm-hmm. Like, they posted on their blog earlier in the year that he's going on to do a solo project and he's leaving the band. And I kind of feel like he was maybe the driving... Because this album is so bad. It's just like... Oh my God, out of 14 tracks on this album, I like one of them. And it's just and I love almost everything else they've ever done. And it's just like, oh, they just jumped the shark so badly with this album. I'm hoping it's a one-off. I'm hoping that they'll pull themselves back together. And
How many albums have they had?
Let's see, they did, if only there was a internet-worked system of computers that I could find this out. Let's see. I know that they did Cool is Just a Number, I think was their first album. Let me find them here.
Kathy Bacon, what do you mean by dead air? Is this boring to you? Oh, are people, have we lost the stream?
I don't think we have. No, it says.
Is Brad saying refresh, refresh, refresh now?
It says we're connected. It says we are live. You know what? We are switching streaming servers because this streaming server that we're using sucks. What?
I'm sorry. You said it is sucks.
It is. Because it is. Because it is sucks.
Okay, they can hear us, say, I guess.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. All right, hold on a second. Let me get... Oh, Toppy Smelly's just entered.
Toppy.
All right, here's what they had. This is their albumography here, their discography. They had their very first album called Welcome to the Breakdown. That was their seminal album, I guess. And then they had one, Cool is Just a Number, which is their second album. Mm-hmm. Their third album was called Kaboom. And then their fourth album, the one that they just released, the one that sucks, is called The Near Future.
Okay.
Hi, Toppy Smelly.
Hi, can you hear me?
Oh, dear God. Yes, you sound like you're in the control room. Yes, hi, Toppy Smelly.
Why do I sound echoey?
Yeah, you sound echoey and like you're in... It literally does. It sounds like you're on the other side of the Palatial Pride 48 Studios.
Oh, Jesus.
Like in the control room there. Pushing the little button going like, can you try that track again with like more bass?
Oh my God. You know what? This is silly. My computer's vomiting right now. So I'm not going to be any use to you. So I'm going to.
You're fine. You're fine, Toppy Smelly. You're fine. You're fine.
You don't sound bad.
You're fine. Here's my question though, Toppy Smelly.
No.
Why do DC comics suck so badly?
Well, I'll tell you, it goes a long time back, Daniel, as does everything, doesn't it? The thing is, DC Comics they were the top of the game. They were the belle of the ball for many, many, many years. Many years.
Many
decades.
Years. Yes, decades. Yeah. From the 30s and to the late 40s.
No, even way back. Oh my God, look at the beer. Hey, folks in the chat room, Daniel's guzzling beer. Just wanted you to know. Anyways,
Daniel.
Because I got video. Anyways, and cleverly, I've pointed my camera away from me. Anyways, see, the thing is, DC had a way of doing things and they did it for years and they were top of the game and they had a formula. And then Marvel came along and they sort of shook things up and they had kind of a more hip way of doing things, and suddenly comic books became something that college students would read over at Marvel, and that's it. They've never quite recovered, except maybe they have. But anyways, I think Marvel's still ahead of the game. I think
story wise, Marvel. You know, it's just Marvel has at least some levity in their universe. It seems like DC is just so dark, and you know, it's like you look at any of the DC comics, like Batman, Superman, the Arrow, Green Arrow, or the Flash. They all just have this really dark overtone. The Flash is the closest they come to levity, I think.
Maybe
everything else is just so dark and omnipresent. Whereas you look at Marvel, and they have the X-Men, they have. You know, Iron Man, they have Hulk, they have... Hulk is probably the darkest that they go, I think, Marvel.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting. Yeah, Hulk can be. It depends on who's writing them, but yeah, Hulk can be dark.
Now, you and I had this conversation. It was never recorded, so I don't want to try to recreate this conversation, but I was trying to explain to somebody about how I had started rereading Tales of... what was it? The Tales of Wonder. Tales of... I've already forgotten.
Strange Tales?
Yeah, Strange Tales. The ones where they introduced Iron Man.
Those are really old.
Yes.
Those are from the 60s, early 60s.
No, like the late 50s. Yeah, so like 57, 58, and then the early 60s on, but yes. And in those, I was talking to you about how I had read the genesis of the Avengers, which included... The Avengers actually formed... I don't know if you know this, Curtis. The Avengers actually formed... by trying to stop Hulk, although Hulk was listed as a member of the Avengers, he was actually the rallying point. He's like, this is a really powerful thing that needs to be controlled, and so the rest of us superheroes are now going to get together to try to control him. They were unable to, and follow me now, and in the process of doing that, he shed his teenage boy follower named Rick.
Rick Jones
of the teen ham radio brigade.
Wow.
And Rick just, there's no other words for it. Rick fell into love with Captain America
and pretty much
left Hulk. He left. So it was like, here you had both Hulk and Captain America fighting over a teenage boy who said things like, well, actually, Rick's friends would say things like, oh, Rick, you're so lucky to get to hang out with Captain America. He's so muscly.
Oh, God. It was kind of gay. It really was.
A little bit.
The interesting thing about Marvel and their use of history and sort of pretending that everything that happened really happened. And Rick Jones. Now, let's back up a bit. Time is very different in the comic book business.
Yes.
Rick Jones is still a very young man, even though he was a young man in the early 60s.
Yes.
But Rick Jones has continued to be a character in the Marvel Universe to this day.
Really?
And, Rick Jones was used by other writers, most notably when they sort of resurrected Captain Marvel in the Marvel Universe, and they decided to kind of play off the old Shazam thing at DC. Well, Rick Jones traded places with Mar-Vell.
Yes.
And he had to clang his little wristbands. Anyways, Rick Jones is still alive and well in the Marvel Universe today. And all that history is sort of accounted for.
I thought the most recent incarnation of Captain Marvel was a female version of Captain Marvel. Right?
Well, let's not get into that. No, it's all kind of strange. Yeah, no, Ms. Marvel... I forgot how the fucking hell she got Kree powers.
She was part Kree, right?
Something happened there. I don't think she was part Kree. Something happened to her. She was a regular human dame.
Now, was she a human or was she an inhuman, much like we're seeing now in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on ABC?
No. She was a regular. Carol Danvers was a regular human girl, and she hung out with Captain Marvel, and somehow, I forget how, I honestly, she acquired Kree awareness or something.
I've always kind of liked that about Marvel. It really didn't matter how, like, you read the early Iron Man, and Iron Man was all about transistors, because at the time that it was written in the late 50s and early 60s, it was like, this was this thing, right? Miniaturization of electronics was like this thing. So everything was transistor. I have my transistor powered jets and my transistor. And it was never quite clear as to how this suit was keeping him alive. Like, it kind of implied that if he didn't have an electric charge, his heart would stop beating. Like somehow the suit was electrically powering his heart or whatever. It was very, very fuzzy on the science. It wasn't until I think the movie that they kind of, you know, retconned it to be like, oh, it's the magnetic field is preventing the shrapnel, you know, the microscopic shrapnel from hitting his own arteries or something.
Oh my god, retconned.
Toppy Smelly, do you see Curtis? Yeah. Do you see Curtis falling asleep on this conversation?
Right yes, now? His eyes are glazing over. Anyways, we need to be careful how deep we go into. I'll just pad off of that, Daniel, just say that Iron Man was retconned many times before he made it to the movies.
Oh yeah, no, my favorite Iron Man retcon is the one where he was born with a skin condition that caused him immense pain if air came into contact with his skin, and his father Howard Stark developed a coating that he could put over him.
Oh, wow.
That would keep him from touching air, but that also gave him, you know, like the strength of, it was kind of like, so that it wasn't even like a suit. It was like a nanobot constructed coating that went over him that.
That's kind of cool. So the interesting thing, folks who are listening, is that these characters, Iron Man has been around since 1963 or 64. And now, of course, he's, you know, in the movies, blah, blah, blah. But the thing they have to, this retcon, this, they have to update them, because back when the Vietnam War was going on, it made sense that Tony Stark would fight the Vietnam bad guys.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But and the when they made the
Mandarin,
movie.
Yeah, the Mandarin was like his main villain, which was a stereotypical Japanese, you know, looking, you know, you know, what I don't want to say the word, but yeah, I mean, it was very stereotypical, you know, just think early 60s, you know, cartoon stereotypical Japanese character.
Yeah. But because these characters have had the life, the longevity of their popularity, every once in a while, they have to update them. So when the movie came around, it was the Iraq War, or whatever, the Gulf War, or whatever. It wasn't Vietnam, because that was like, you know. Anyways, it's all interesting if you want to keep up with it. I just want to add at the end here, I don't know if Mags is still in the chat room, because I'm not there. But Mags is a comic book guy.
Yes.
And he knows all about Squirrel Girl. So there you go.
Yeah, Squirrel. I heard that they're going to actually resurrect Squirrel Girl.
Well, they've been she's sort of, I don't know. Yeah. But
no, Mags says that he is there. All right. So Toppy, before you leave, I wanted to do, I know it's way past your bedtime, but I figured this is what I was going to do. I was going to close out the show by demonstrating just how well Curtis and I know each other. And I figure we can include you on this too.
So, very well.
So what we're going to do is let's see, who should we do it? So this is what I want. Toppy, I want you to tell the world what it is Curtis does for a living. Curtis, I want you to explain to the world what I do for a living, and I'm going to explain what Toppy Smelly does for a living. Now, keep in mind, because we know each other so well, that there's no possible way that, you know, that this will probably be boring for you, because there's, you know, we just know exactly what each other do. I mean, we know our day-to-day duties. We know what it is that we do. And so, go ahead. Toppy, tell the world what it is that Curtis does for a living.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's very well known. Curtis is in the world of advertising, and he's sort of like, remember back Bewitched?
Yes.
Durwood or whatever. Yes. Anyway, Darren, yeah. He pitched ideas to ad executive. That's what Curtis does.
He pitches ideas.
Yeah, he doesn't do any of the art or anything. He just pitches the ideas. Under Curtis are many artists, of very various talent that brought out, you know, the plan that Curtis has. But Curtis is the idea guy, and he goes, I want an ad that has a vagina with a golf course, and then I want this and that. And then his poor underlings have to come up with how to get it done.
Right.
And Curtis is very demanding, but the ad executive world is a demanding world. I'm sure you've all watched Mad Men. Yes. So that's Curtis.
That is absolutely correct. Is that not, Curtis?
That's pretty spot on. Yeah,
that's good spot job. On. Sure. All right, so Curtis, now tell the world what it is I do for a living.
You're a cashier at Target, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a busy time of year for you, isn't it, Daniel?
It is. It is the holidays, and that's why I'm drinking so heavily. It's the holidays, and I work at Target as a cashier. Uh-huh. And
you nailed it.
Yeah, it's hard to you got to hold your temper in, don't you, Daniel?
I do, but you know what? Let me just say this right now for any of you listening. If you sign up for the Target card, you will get 5% off your discount. Your 5% discount off every purchase that you make at Target. And it doesn't have to be a credit card. You can actually just tie a Target card to your normal bank card. So then that way you just use your regular bank card when you go to Target and yet still get a 5% discount on everything. So and if you sign up using the code Daniel Brewer, I will get a nice, 30 cents kickback in my paycheck for the week. And that is how I put food on my
5%.
Cat.
That's an incredible savings, Daniel.
It is absolutely incredible savings, Curtis. And I think you should absolutely make sure that you do that and make sure that you use the code Daniel Brewer. I work at store number 1649.
Well, this is a good thing, Daniel, because when you start out your new life, you've got to deck out your new apartment.
I do.
And you'll probably get, a lot of money off on Target things because you work there.
I do. Yeah, I get 5%. I get 5% off myself.
That's good.
When I using my employee discount, I get 5% off. And then when I use the Target card on top of that, I actually get 10% off. So what I do is I buy things and then sell them on eBay. So I buy things at a 10% discount.
You're a monster.
And I sell them on eBay. I buy the action figures of the Marvel. This is why I know so much about comic books. I buy the action figures as they come out because they're always short one action figure. I don't know if you know this or not. Like when they put out the comic book figures or the Star Trek figures, they will always short produce one of them, which is the one that will be on demand. And because I work at Target, I just take them right off the loading dock. And it's very Sopranos. It's very, very much like the Sopranos. I do that. All right, and so finally, I get to tell the world what Toppy Smelly does for a living. And this has been shrouded in mystery. This actually, I kind of don't know. Am I legally allowed to even say what it is?
No, you can conjecture. You could conjecture.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just say that the government, any government, doesn't necessarily have to be ours. A government has a special division that investigates, anomalies and things that
X-Files.
That are well beyond human understanding, right? So, like things that mere mortals could not put together, so Toppy works for a think tank, a think tank that basically his job is to construct, scenarios that we might need to come up with some kind of, some kind of solution too. So
now, if I may just provide an example.
Yeah, please.
All heard of the government embankment of seeds of like corn, wheat, various varieties that are secreted in a bunker in a mountain somewhere in the U.S. I cannot reveal the location.
Yes.
But anyways, that was my idea. And because we need to, the whole SAT, DNA of our conjecture has to be preserved in lieu of like a meteor striking the Earth.
Right.
Anyways, these are the things that I'm concerned about. Mm-hmm. And it's the Toppy Smelly conjecture room under the mountain.
Right. And it is safe to say that what you do is a very big-brained operation. It's a very high-level think tank, big-brained.
I don't want to brag, but it's kind of big. you know, it's big brain.
And it is so amazing that you, you know, consent to be our announcer here on our award-winning little show. All right.
Well,
so,
you know.
Yeah. All right. So, you know what? I think we've tortured people enough from the super awesome Curtis and Daniel Mega Show Spectacular Christmas Special. Yes. We would like to wish all of you a very happy holidays, be that Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa, whatever it may be.
Chinooka.
Festivus.
Festivus for the rest of us.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Curtis, the last word is yours.
Bye, everybody.
Excellent.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Toppy. It was really great to have you.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Curtis. Mm-hmm. Thank you for having me.
All right, we're done recording.
All right.
I think we should definitely stick with scripted shows.
Absolutely.
I don't know. Did we go off? I don't know. Did we?